I want us to open our Bibles together in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we commence reading at verse number 11. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and commencing to read at verse number 11. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible word. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer tonight before we come to meditate upon God's infallible truth. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can gather in thy presence tonight. And we thank thee that in thy presence there is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are the pleasures forevermore. I pray, O God, that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt lead us as we meditate upon thy word in the closing time of this meeting. But help us to worship thee. Help us, our God, to hear thy voice speaking to each and every single one of us. We thank thee for thine infallible truth. And we pray that this night that we might rightly divide the word of truth to the glory and the honor of our lovely Savior. We pray that we might remain faithful unto him and who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so to this end, O God, I ask thee now that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt fill me with power tonight to minister thy word. I pray for the covering of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ward off every attack of hell. And may the name of the Lord Jesus be exalted this night. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Some years ago, Dr. Alan Kearns brought out a little booklet, and it's certainly a little booklet that gives and explains God's way of salvation. But the title of that book at that time was simply this: Christ is the answer. And thank God he is the answer to all of the needs of man's heart. And I trust as we open the scriptures tonight that we will see that Christ is the answer to the need of your heart tonight, dear unconverted person. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that reminds us that indeed it is the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the difference in a heart and in a life. Notice what it says: therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature or a new creation. It says that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. If there's a possibility, there's a possibility if, and then it is, if any man, there's the people, if any man, and then here it is, the position, if any man be in Christ, and then we see the promise, he is a new creature, and then there's the persuasion, the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But what I want you to notice is how the Lord Jesus Christ makes a difference, is the difference in the lives of men and women. And as we'll see, just ordinary people like you and me, how the Lord Jesus Christ made a difference in their lives as they became new creatures. In other words, their old life, it says, the old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, because Christ makes a difference. Now, of course, you and I know that there are many influences in our lives that makes a difference. For example, we can take, for example, sickness. You know, in the years that God has given me to visit hospitals, and I've gone and I've visited people in their homes, and I've seen them there. I've had a wonderful time just of enjoying their company in their homes. I've seen big men and strong men there, and we have enjoyed each other's company, and also the ladies of the home as well. The company was enjoyable. But then I've seen those people, I've walked into the hospital ward, and I've seen those people lie there in a hospital bed, that very same big man. But friend, let me tell you, after a little sickness, isn't it amazing what a difference that a little sickness can make? And I've seen men that were big, burly, and strong, and yet after a few weeks, I've seen them just waste away. They've wasted away so much that you could hardly recognize them. They're not the same people. In actual fact, there's people that I've walked on past, I've been in to see, and I've walked into hospital, and I've been looking for them, and I've walked on past them, because they're not the same big person or man or even that lady that you've recognized in the days of our past. What happened? What made the difference? Sickness made the difference. And you see, friend, whenever sickness grips a person's body, I don't care how mighty and strong you are. I don't care how burly you might feel. You would just take the world on. But may the winds of sickness come, and the winds of sickness blow across you or my frame. Let me tell you, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Then, of course, we think of marriage makes a difference. Remember the man in the scriptures, the Bible says, they all began with one consent to make excuse. And one of the men said this, he said, you know, I've married a wife. Now, there was a feast on, the man had made a great supper, and the people were bidden to come. The Bible says they all began to make excuse. And one man said this, I have married a wife, and therefore here's the next word, can't come. Now, Jim, I'm sure you're feeling comfortable at this present moment, because, you know, you can say, well, listen, that doesn't apply to me. But let me tell you, my friend, here's a person, and my, he enjoyed his freedom, and he thought that everything was grand. And maybe here's a young man and a young woman, and they're enjoying their freedom as the individuals. And then they fall in love, and then they come together. And friend, let me tell you, up until that moment, until they get married. Listen, that young man, he's got his money, he works for it, he spends it just exactly as he wants to do. And then he gets married. And then he realizes something happens. There's a difference here. Because what he thought was his is no longer his. Because his wife says, that's mine too. That's ours. It's no longer mine. And friend, let me tell you, here's a young man, and he has never known what it is to spend money in the home, because perhaps he has lived at home and mom and dad have looked after him. They've given him everything. My, they've looked after him, not only in food, but my, a roof over their head, a bed to sleep in, all the rest of it. And then all of a sudden things change. You see that money that he used to have? Then let me tell you, then he's got to spend it on a mortgage, or perhaps the rent. And then there's the rates, and then there's the electricity, and then there's the phone bills, and then there's the food bills, and all the rest of it. And he realizes there's some mighty difference here. That's why whenever I talk to young couples, it's one of the things I talk to them before they get married. I talk to them about the reality, because I have found in my life, friend, that many of the problems in marriages and many of the problems in homes is surrounding money. Because they have had everything whenever they were at home and everything was being paid for them. And then all of a sudden, they're hit with the responsibilities that they're paying the bills. But it's out of the same money that they had before. And friend, marriage can make a difference. Yes, the man said, I married a wife, I can't come. And friend, you can sometimes smile at that, but I can tell you, you talk to many a man and you say to him, well, listen, I'll meet you in such and such. Well, he says, I need to talk to the wife, whether I can or not. You know, some of you are laughing. You're laughing at yourselves. Because in actual fact, that's just exactly you. Because the freedom is gone. You can't make that decision anymore. It makes a difference. Let me tell you, friend, environment makes a difference. You know, here is a person, and my, he leaves Ulster, and we have all our Ulsterisms. And here's a person, and they decide to go away, and they head off to America, perhaps, and it's amazing. They get into the American atmosphere. And you know, in a very short time, they have an accent that would beat George Bush or Ronald Reagan. They have an American accent. It's nearly overnight. And they've got this different accent. What made the difference, friend? The environment they're living in. And that's to be true. Because in actual fact, if you were to speak in your broad Ulster accent, they haven't a clue what you're talking about. And therefore, you have to sort of maybe get into the swing of the way they speak for it to be understood. Mind you, there's a lot of folks would rightly say, well, if they don't understand me, they can forget about me. I remember going to Paris one day. I decided to go to Paris. And I went to Paris in the morning. I must be honest, I went to Paris. I never was in Paris in my life. And I got onto the plane in London. I went to Paris just for to see just the Eiffel Tower. And when I got to the station in Paris, I couldn't really remember any of my French. And I did a little French at school, but I can assure you I wasn't going to stumble over the little bit of French I had. I went into the station in Paris and I asked a person, could they tell me how to get to the Eiffel Tower? And I can tell you this, friend, well, I wasn't talking French as far as it could have been talking anything, for they didn't want to talk to me. They did not want to talk to me because I wasn't trying to speak in their language. And I just said, and this is true, I said, well, listen, if you can't talk to me, I'm leaving nothing with you. And I got back onto the train, and I went straight back to the airport, and I went straight back to London. And I said, well, if you can't talk to me, I'd certainly not be talking to you. Now, you can say, well, I was thick. Well, that's it. I suppose that's the Ulster one. But you see, friend, environment can make a difference. The environment we're kind of makes a difference in our lives. Listen, time makes a difference. And if you want any example of that, I'll tell you what you do. Go home tonight and look in the mirror. And that's all you have to do, and it'll tell you that time makes a difference. Because whenever you look in the mirror, you remember those curly hair that you used to have. I remember going to a funeral in Cookstown one day, and there was this lady was there, and the family was there, and I had married the daughter, and the mum was being buried. They brought down this photograph away back years and years ago. And they said to me, you know, my mom used to take this photograph down and show this to your Stephen. And she used to smile and say, look, the hair on your father's head. That's where it used to be. And friend, let me tell you, time made a difference. And not all that dark brown strands of hair. And now they're getting gray. Maybe they're getting white. Remember putting my foot in it one night. I was visiting Tobermore. I went to Tobermore one night. There was something in this house. And there's a crowd of people around it. It was a death. And we're sitting in this house, and I was sitting here, and this person leaned over, and in front of everybody in the house said to me, my, Mr. McCrae, you're getting awful gray. Now, I knew it, they knew it, but they didn't need to tell the whole room that I was getting gray. And just as a quick, I suppose, just reaction, I just, well, says I, glory to God, it's me own. I says, you know, I'm not like these people. Because whenever they're black, they want it white. And when they're white, they want it black. And now they can't make up their mind whether they want it black or white. I said to them, they're like a piebald pony we used to have at home. One black, one white, one black, one white. I thought I sort of defended myself right, and this lady just put her head around the corner. She says, "Are you talking about me, Mr. McRae?" And friend, to tell you the truth, one black, one white, one, she just got it done in the hairdressers, and mine was natural, and hers cost her a fortune. But friend, time makes a difference, and so it does. Company makes a difference. You know, I think of a young lad that once was bright for God, used to take a stand for God. He loved the Lord. He had a testimony for God, and then he went to university. He went across to university, and then one of those old college professors there scoffed at his Christianity. He wasn't willing to take a stand for God. The young lad came back home, came to the Lord's Day morning. His mother shouted up and said to him, we'll not call him by name, we'll say, "John, it's time to get up, it's church time. Remember, it's church time." John never moved. Mom went up to the bedroom and she says, "John, did you not hear me? It's time to get your breakfast to go to church." He says, "Mom, I've learned better now, Mom. I don't believe that old-fashioned way anymore." And he pulled the clothes over his head. Then what made the difference? Company. And company can make ambassadors, and let me tell you this, you're often known by the company you keep. And friend, let me tell you, the sad reality is this, that many young women has got into bad company, and what a change it has made in their lives. Destroyed them. And I say to the young people of our congregation, I beg you in God's name, watch your company. Because the devil will desire to pull you down. If you're walking with God, let me tell you, the devil will desire to destroy you and pull you down. And one way he'll do is with company. Bad company can change you completely. Death makes a difference. I remember a woman said to me one day, she said, "Mr. McRae, when my husband died, you see, that first night that I went to the door, I went to church on the Sunday night, and I came home. And I came to the door, the place was in darkness. I put the key in the door. There's no one there to speak to me. Because death made a difference." And friend, let me tell you, death does make a difference. Many a family that has been filled with joy and laughter, but the laughter's gone. Why? Because death, the last enemy, has come in and taken that mother, that father, that son, that daughter away. And the joy of your life perhaps has gone with it. But death makes a difference. Now, we've talked about all those things, friend. Let's be honest, they can all make a difference. But listen, what I want to tell you tonight is Christ makes a difference. And that's the difference you really need. The Lord Jesus Christ makes the difference, because there's no change on earth that can ever compare to the change that Christ makes in a life. This is what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. The old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Remember Dr. Paisley telling about the old boy in his congregation when I was a student there? An old boy that was working in the shipyard. Came to one of Dr. Paisley's meetings and got gloriously saved by the grace of God. He said he was so happy in the Lord whenever he was coming riding down the road on the bicycle, coming down home from the day's work in the shipyard. He says the dandelions looked like orange lilies. He said he was so changed. You know, he was so changed that the people of his neighborhood, they saw the change in his life, friend, and he lived in a wee humble dwelling. And his way at work one day, and the neighbors got together and they painted the dwelling. They painted the dwelling because he was so changed. They thought that they were going to do something to acknowledge the change in his life. He came riding down the bicycle from the shipyard and came to his house, and to tell you the truth, he was just nearly riding on by because he didn't even recognize his own house. And then he shouted this, "Glory to God," he says, "the house has got converted too." You see, the Lord made the difference. Friend, let me tell you tonight, you and I can realize that the Lord Jesus Christ makes a difference. If you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, you will not be the same, because the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. That's why there's people that tell me that they got saved and they're just going the same places they used to go and doing the things they used to do. Let me tell you, friend, there's something wrong. They've got a profession, but they haven't got possessions, because the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, if you're truly in Christ, if you're truly united to Jesus Christ. You see, the words in Christ is to be united with him by faith. It's a state of union with Christ, saving interest in Christ. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, born again of the Spirit of God. If any man be in Christ, he is. That's what the Word of God says. He's a new creature. He's changed. The old things have passed away. It says, behold, all things are become new. The old affections, the old passions. It says, the old things are passed away. And all things have become new. New center in his life. A new principles. A new company. A new influence. A new power. New inclinations. That's the work of God. You can't do that, friend. You can't work up this. This is not something that, my friend, that you will change. Listen, people say to me, listen, I'll change my life. I live differently. I want to tell you, if you are in Christ, if you are joined to Christ and grafted into Christ, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yes. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Now, friend, listen, that does not mean that you'll not have struggles. That's not mean that you'll never fall, you'll never make a mistake, or the devil will never trip you up. But I can tell you, when the devil trips you up, you don't want to stay there. Whenever you fall, you don't want to lie there. Why? Because you want to live in Christ differently. You want to live in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. That book, let me tell you, is proof of that verse. That book is filled with proof of that verse. Any man being Christ, he's a new creature. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, it talks about the demonic of Gadara. Now, in that passage of God's Word, go with me just for a moment, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the Bible tells us that he was one of the most pitiful sights that you could ever have met. Because it says in verse number 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What a pathetic sight. What a pathetic sight, friend, energized by the power of hell. A child of the devil. In the Bible, as we read this passage of God's Word, this man used to have friends. No mention of them among the tombs. He used to have a home. No mention of that amongst the tombs. You say, how do I know he had it? Because this is what Jesus said. Just go down the passage of God's Word, verse 19. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. You see, he had a home, but he was driven out. Why was he driven out? The powers of the devil, friend, had so taken over his life that he lost his home. Go home, Jesus said. Go home to thy friends. Here was a man that had good friends and family. but he's among the tombs. And day and night, or night and day, it says he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And then Jesus came. The Lord Jesus came. He came at the right time. He came to the right place, and thank God he came for the right person. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to the demons that possessed him, verse 8, and he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he answered him, "What is thy name?" And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Here's a man that possessed by the demons of hell, taken out over his life and driven him away from home. And friend, the Lord Jesus Christ changed all that. And the Bible says that when the people of the city came out to see him and to see what was done, verse number 15, and they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with a devil and had legion, sitting, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. There's the change. There's the difference, friend. The Lord changed him. Here, friend, he's sitting. The Bible tells us that he was running amongst the tombs, but now he's sitting. It says he was clothed. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Who made the difference? The Lord Jesus did. You've heard me say, I suppose, in the past, when I looked at this passage of God, can you imagine the homecoming, friend? The Lord Jesus said to him, "Go home. Go home to your friends." The man, whenever he was changed by the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lord Jesus, let me go with you. Let me go with you. Let me stay with you, Lord." Jesus says, "Go home. Go home to your friends and tell them. Be a witness in your family. Are you a friend? Are you a witness in what Christ can do? Are you a witness in your family? Can they see Christ in your life and mine? Can they see Christ in our lives? Are we that new creature living before them that they know that my daddy's changed, my mommy's changed?" A young person, when you go home, does your mom and dad see you're changed? You say you belong to Jesus. Are you changed? And Jesus says, "Go home." I see this man because, you see, this man had tried to be tamed. They tried to put chains on him. Can you imagine fetters and chains? He was so angry. He's so energized by the devil, friend, and the powers of the demons of hell that he just plucked asunder. Can you see that? He plucks the fetters and the chains asunder. No man could tame him. He's just like a madman. Jesus says, "Go home. Go home." I've often pictured that scene. I can just see the little ones play around the family house. Oh, the home's changed since Daddy has gone out of it because Daddy wrecked that home. And now he's coming home, and the little ones see him, Daddy coming in the distance. And they run in and say, Mommy, Daddy's coming. Daddy's coming." And I can see the woman. My, she's so afraid. And she brings her little bairns around her. And she pulls them into the house. And she shuts the door. And she locks the door. And she said, "But not let him in. Don't worry. He'll not beat you again." This man, nobody could tame him. His life was wrecked by the devil. Then he comes up to the home, and the wife's waiting for the boot to come to the door. Friend, he knocks the door. And she's standing there. I can see her looking out through the window. And she stands shaking there, wondering, what's going to happen next? She says, "Darling, open the door. You see, I met a man. His name was Jesus. My life's changed. I'm not the same man that had left. And she opens the door and he walks in. She sees a man changed. Let me tell you, friend, that's not only a story in Mark chapter 5. I remember a man many years ago in this community. Remember every Sunday night he would have been found in the pub whenever the door, they were not allowed to be in, and he went in the back door. A man that indeed wrecked the family, drunk so much that he took the very seats that the youngsters were sitting on. And they were sold to get him his drink. And hardly a stitch to wear, and mother used to knit to try and clothe her children. Then one night, it was a Sunday night, he was standing in the bar. And he said to one of his mates, he said, "Listen, if so-and-so asks where I am, tell him I'm over in McCrae's church." The person looked at him as if he was mad. And friend, he came to the meetings. The Spirit of God gripped his soul. God saved that man. And he came home to his wife. And when he came through the door, she thought it was his usual drunkenness. And he sat down on an egg box. He had no seat to sit on. And he said to his wife, "I have something to tell you. I could save tonight. I give my life to Christ." Friend, let me tell you, the egg boxes went. And thank God the seats came back. You know, I remember reading just the other day about a Sunday school teacher. She asked her class the question, "Where is heaven?" And one wee girl raised her hand and said, "Please, miss, heaven's in our home since Daddy got saved. The Lord made the difference." Let me tell you, friend, he can turn a house, he can turn a den into a home. For Christ is the answer. Then turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 46, go down there. The Lord Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, he came to a place, it was Jericho. He went into Jericho, he passed through it, but as he was going out the other side, a great multitude of people were gathered round him that were following the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine all the noise as the Savior in this crowd that was gathered round him, but there was a lonely figure sitting at the side of the highway. He's a blind man. And all he could do was beg for food. He was a blind beggar. He was the son of Timaeus. He was blind Bartimaeus. And when he heard the noise of the crowd, he couldn't understand what it was, for his eyes were blind. And he asked the question, what was going on as the crowd was going past, in verse 47. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. Somebody told him, "Jesus is passing this way." And the blind man, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the bystanders, they told him to hold his peace. But my friend, he heard that Jesus was passing that way, and he was not letting the Savior pass without crying out. And he cried out the more. Oh yes, the world would seek to hinder you from getting to Jesus. Nothing has changed, friend. The world will want to stop you getting to Jesus. The man cried out the more, "Have mercy. Have mercy on me." The Bible says, verse 49, Jesus stood still. Savior stopped, friend. And he commanded the man to be called. The amazing thing was this. The Lord even changed the attitude of the crowd that day. Do you notice what happened? Verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise. Imagine the crowd that was telling him to be shut up. And now they're saying, Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. And the Lord Jesus Christ removed every obstacle that day. The crowd was the obstacle, but thank God, the Savior silenced the crowd. And the Savior commanded him to be called. In verse 50, and he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, Jesus made the difference. Let me tell you, friend. One moment in darkness, and the next moment, he looked into the face of he who is the light of the world. And his life was changed. Your life can be changed tonight. Listen, if any man be in Christ, if you will come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that man called out. That man cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know what the Word of God says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And thank God that day his life was changed for good. And I thought about it. The first sight he saw was the face of Jesus. Looked into the face of Christ and he saw the Savior. What a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. If any man be in Christ, friend, a new creature. God doesn't ask you. You know, people say to me, you know, I'd love to be saved, but I couldn't keep it. And friend, that's one of the biggest lies that the devil has ever got. To get you, your eyes on keeping it. The Word of God says, Now unto him that is able to keep you. And thank God if he's able to save your soul for all eternity, he's able to keep you in time. He is. For Christ is the difference. Acts chapter 9, just in a moment. Acts chapter 9, the story is the story of a man, I suppose one of the greatest miracles of God's salvation that was ever witnessed on that Damascus road. Saul was filled with religion, and yet he's on his way to hell. He's riding down that Damascus road, friend. He has the authority to arrest and to destroy the people of God. He's so filled with anger and rage in his soul against the Christians. And on that road, Saul made great discoveries. You know what he found? He found out that the Lord was alive. He did. Isn't it amazing that just a short time before that, Stephen told him that? Godly Stephen witnessed to Saul of Tarsus as they laid the coats down at Saul of Tarsus' feet and the men stoned Stephen and they said there, I see Jesus.
And he's standing at the Father's right hand. This is the one that now the Jews had thought that they had killed and destroyed forever. They had removed the Savior from the scene. He was gone and gone for good. But Stephen said, I see Jesus. And he's standing at the Father's right hand. But Saul didn't believe it. But then now he's confronted not about Jesus. He's confronted by Jesus. Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, the risen Christ. And Saul on that Damascus road was face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he found that though man had sought to destroy him, yet Christ was alive. And there he was speaking. I am Jesus. Yes, a light shone from heaven. And he fell upon the ground, and when he fell upon the ground, the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. He found out that Christ was alive. He found out that he was a lost, guilty soul persecuting the Lord, friend, because Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Why persecutest thou me? Jesus says, you're opposing me. You're rejecting me. And men and women in this service tonight, if you're not saved, that's exactly what you're doing. You're opposing, you're rejecting Christ. You're not rejecting the preacher. That doesn't count. But you're rejecting the Lord. And he also found out that all his religious acts and all his good works and all his legalistic self-righteousness was nothing but empty, filthy rags. And that day, the Lord changed him. He was changed. What did he say after that? He said, for me to live is Christ. Why? Because he was a new creature in Christ. He was born again of the Spirit of God. He was changed. His life was transformed. He was united by faith to Christ and became that new creature in Christ Jesus. And thank God he was so changed, friend. If you go down to verse 22, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Very Christ. Verse 20, and straightway Saul preached Christ. He was changed, never to be the same again. What about you? Sam Jones, the old Methodist American evangelist, saw a drunkard staggering down the street one day, and old Sam said this, there but for the grace of God, go I. I said to you, friend, this book is filled with a proof of 2 Corinthians 5:17. We've got to finish tonight. Ask the woman at the well who'd got a thirsty soul. And she said to Jesus, give me this water. And he did. Ask the impotent man that was at the pool of Bethesda, who lay there for 38 years and no man to help him until Jesus came. Ask the woman taken in adultery. Ask the man that was born blind that Jesus changed. Ask Simon Peter about how Christ can change a life. Ask the Philippian jailer. Ask Lydia. Ask Lazarus. Ask the lad of Nain. Ask Jairus' daughter. Ask the woman with the issue of blood. Ask Zacchaeus. Asked Nicodemus, yes, friend, it's filled with the truth. If any man be in Christ, if any person be in Christ, to become a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And thank God there's many here tonight. And you could say, ask me. For he changed me too. He changed my life. He changed my family. He changed my home. He changed my destiny. One moment on the way to hell, the next on the way to heaven. How can this change come about, friend? There was a woman who knew well the handicaps of life. She wrote one of the greatest hymns of all times. Her name was Charlotte Elliott. She was an invalid from her youth. She deeply resented the constraints of her handicap. A minister visited her one day and he insisted that her problems should not divert her attention from what she most needed to hear. And he challenged her to turn her life over to God, to come to Christ just as she was, handicaps and all. She resented the words of that preacher and what I had to say. However, God spoke through that word to her, and she committed her life to Christ. Now, years later, she found that even as a Christian, she had doubts and struggles. And one particular sore point in her life was this, her inability to effectively go out and serve the Lord, because her brother was an evangelist, and she longed to be used of God herself. But she felt that her health and her physical condition prevented her from doing that. In 1836, the 14th anniversary of her conversion, she was alone one evening, and she wrote the spiritual autobiography in verse. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And then this was the third verse that this invalid, this handicapped, penned as her prayer to God. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come. The Lord can make the difference tonight. For he is the answer. Will you come to him? Oh, how do I come, preacher? You come as a sinner to Jesus, the Savior. You call upon him. You believe on his name. You rest your soul in what he did for you at the place called Calvary. In my place, condemned, he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. He can be your Savior. If you come by faith, right now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son, is all we need. We thank thee that the blood that he shed on the cross has power to cleanse the vilest sinner in this meeting tonight. We thank thee that if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, this night turn from their sin
and come by faith and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, they will never perish. Neither shall any be able to pluck them out of thy hand. They'll become a new creature, a new creation, with new longings and new desires and new hopes and new aims and new affections. New life in Christ. The old things pass away. All things become new. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I've heard the testimony of Bartimaeus from the Word of God tonight. I've heard the testimony of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, from the Word of God tonight. I've heard the testimony of that old demon like a Gadara, recorded in the Word of God tonight. Can you do the same for me?" Praise God, He can. Blind Bartimaeus, rise. He calleth thee. The Savior calls you to Himself tonight. The blessed Spirit of God calls you to Christ. Oh, come to Jesus tonight. And let Him change you forever. And you can go home a new creature, changed by the power of Christ. Is there one tonight? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe there's someone you've wandered away from the Lord. Maybe there was a time in your life, friend, that you remember, look back, and you can see when once you were bright for God and walked with God, enjoyed the fellowship of God. But God knows your heart. God knows where you are tonight. How you stand before Him. Will you come back? He hasn't stopped loving you, friend. He loves you still. Sinner, will you come to Him? Turn from your sin. Repent of your sin. And turn to Christ. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed and God's people are praying, our sister plays one little verse of that hymn, "Just as I am without one plea." Remember Charlotte said, "O Lamb of God, I come." And she did. Will you? As every head is bowed, indicate that desire, friend. Indicate that desire by simply raising that hand above your head, that "I'll see it." And we'll open the Word of God and we'll show you how you can truly be born again and walk with God, just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. Friend, you have no other plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. Will you say, is there one tonight? You raise that hand and I'll say it. O Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one ere we close? I come. Heavenly Father, write thy word upon every heart.
Let not one go away without thee tonight. Turn their feet to the Savior, their hearts to the Lord. Save them. Restore them. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're here to help you. Please don't go away. We'll gladly open the Word of God and show you from God's Word how you can know the Savior and be sure you're saved. I'll be in the minister's room. Come and speak to us there. May God give you grace to call while it is still day, the day of opportunity. God bless you.